This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
My focus is not so much wealth, because too many people think that wealth is just money. But when you put legacy in front of wealth, it passes across generations. Generational wealth is not a plan, it's a strategy where you, as a family business, determine how you will create, build, grow, and expand wealth as you define it.
Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to another fabulous episode on the Color of Money podcast. I am your host, Julia Lachey, again joined by my co-host, Emrick Peace. I know at this point there's been a few episodes, you're probably wondering where our other co-hosts are. Daniel Dixon and Bowman Keaty are still around, but today you're getting me and Emrick, and we are joined with a really excellent guest that I'm very excited to introduce. Today we're going to hear from none other than Dr. Pamela Jolly. And our episode today is called Generational Wealth is a Strategy, Not a Plan. And Dr. Pamela Jolly is just that. She is a strategist. All right, Emrick, please do the honors of introducing everyone to our guest, Dr. Pamela Jolly.
So let me tell you about Dr. Pamela Jolly. She's a well-accomplished financial expert. And here's the deal with her. You know, she had 20 years in the financial arena, whether it was financial services, strategic management, change management, marketing and research, community and economic development. She's worked in banking. She's worked at Nations Bank. She's worked at Accenture. She's worked with Du Bois Partners. If you don't know, you just don't know. Some things some of us just won't know because we're just not at that level. And the beautiful part about having someone like this is that she is so grounded and down to earth. One of the things I love about Pamela is her mind, right? She's a graduate of Hampton University, Boston Theological. And one of my favorite, I have these folks that I've attracted lately, and I just love it, these Wharton grads, MBAs from Wharton. And when you talk about just the thing that she's done, whether she's launched One Torch Incorporated, whether she's launched the Narrow Road, she just puts it out there in our community. And the beautiful part about it, I say in our community, the reality is that she puts it out in all communities. Sometimes we just pigeonhole and say, well, in the Black community. No, this is in the financial world. And so we are grateful to have Pamela Jolly here. She's spoken in so many different places. She's an international speaker. She's spoken in Korea, Japan, Egypt, Nigeria, Ghana, wow, Jamaica. She's spoken to crowds upwards of over 3,000 people. She's presented to Narrow Road to over 3,000 businesswomen and owners throughout the world. And here's another thing, one of those great minds again, most recently, Oxford, England.
Wow. Okay.
So without further ado, Dr. Pamela Jolly.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did we meet? We met at NARAB, National Association of Real Estate Brokers. Well, I think we connected because you were so grounded.
Yes, Emrick, you were on the board of NARAB, and you were a force to be reckoned with just as you are now, if not even more so. And I was blessed to be the strategist for the oldest Black trade organization in the country, NARAB. And you were always a trusted partner, someone that I could really look to and continue to do that. So I'm really grateful for our journey together since that time.
And so we're talking about money, the Color of Money podcast. There's a construct about wealth that we all have. What does wealth mean to you in that whole construct, the idea of wealth?
Definitely. And I appreciate how you preface that because, you know, wealth is cultural, as I have found it. It's a matter of perspective. And my perspective is that wealth is a journey of a series of financial decisions that create, build, grow, and expand opportunities. But my focus is not so much wealth, because too many people think that wealth is just money, and it's so much more than money. But when you put legacy in front of wealth, ooh, it passes across generations. And that's where the topic of this podcast is, that generational wealth is not a plan, it's a strategy. And it's a cross-generational strategy where you, as a family business, determine how you will create, build, grow, and expand wealth as you define it.
And so with that being said, we're in this place right now where I'm going to call this, for lack of better terms, the second coming. And I'm calling it the second coming because we have an opportunity to create something special, different than generations before us. Why is wealth so important in 2024 and beyond? Or why is the legacy so important in 2024 and beyond?
So let me set the context so your audience understands the perspective that I come from. You know, I've been blessed. My dissertation was the convergence of faith and finance in the African-American community. So I interviewed 7,000 African-Americans qualitatively and 45,000 quantitatively. And that mixed method approach became the narrow road, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. But that's a predictive modeling component around wealth, particularly Black wealth. But Black wealth is complicated because African-Americans are the only people in America who were first capital before they made capital, who were first traded before they ever could trade. So to directly answer your question about why now is so important, it's not a simple answer. The quickest way I can say it is that every fourth generation repeats itself. So we're in 2024. 100 years ago, because a generation is roughly 20 to 22 years, that was the generation that rebuilt Tulsa. That was the generation that came together and elevated the standard of business to wealth again in our community. And my reason to go through African ancestry to get your DNA is because they hold the largest database of African DNA. So there, if you want to get the most accurate depiction of where you came from and information of the tribal inheritance that you have, you must go through African ancestry, led by Dr. Gina Page. Now, another reason why it's important is because I believe that African Americans need to realize that we did not start with a shackle. We started from a land that is rich and wealthy. We are wealth. And so we carry that over here, and the legacy continues. So it's imperative for you to begin your legacy wealth journey on the other side of the pond, to recognize that the shackle didn't stop you, because the legacy will always continue to wealth as a standard.
Ooh, I'm validated, Jay. I'm validated. I told y'all this.
You were valid before, but yes, you did.
I'm validated. And so, you know, in that thought process, like when we're having this conversation, and we're talking about the narrow road, and we're talking about, you know, what this wealth, what this legacy looks like, and understanding where we came from, I can say that for me, it was empowering to know that my ancestors from Equatorial Guinea, the Bubi tribe, right? And they were water people. It felt good. It was empowering. And I believe that other people should seek and understand, you know, where they're from. Because before, all I could ever say was a slave plantation in North Carolina. Knowing that wasn't where I was from, that was where they took us. That wasn't where we were from. And just, it's just so empowering. But we won't go down that path. I just want to make sure that people understand.
So Emmerich, you mentioned the narrow road, but what is the narrow road? I think many of our audience listeners may not know what the narrow road is. I certainly would like to be educated on that. Dr. Pamela Jolly, can you share with us, what is the narrow road?
It's important to know that my dissertation was that convergence of faith and finance. And what I've found is that oftentimes when we're faced with a life or financial uncertainty, we just close our eyes and believe that it's going to be okay. What I wanted to do was I wanted to unblind people's faith. And the way I wanted to do that with the substance of finance and business and the evidence of the strategies in everybody's life journey. And so because faith and finance, everything that I do is based on a biblical parable. And so wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the road that leads to life. Few find it and even fewer take it. That's the book of Matthew. And so when we think about the narrow road, it's the culmination of 7,000 research studies qualitatively with African Americans and 45,000 quantitatively. It's a mixed method approach. And so this is my first book. And my first book, I self-published and sold over 30,000 copies. I want to say thank you to the 100 Black Men, because I launched the book at their national conference.
Wow, okay.
And so the road meets you where you are with your vision. It moves from vision to thought, from thought to action, from action to speech, and from speech to outcome. And then I'm grateful because I wouldn't know anything about 100 Black Men if it wasn't for Marva Allen, because she invited me to speak at their national conference, which opened up the door for me to speak to national Black organizations across the country. But Marva didn't stop there. During the pandemic, she reached out to me and she said, can I do a second edition? And we did. Within the narrow road, it's color-coded. There's a typing tool where with one question, I help you reveal your wealth identity. Because what I found in my research is we all don't see the same way. We look at different dimensions on the horizon. We all don't think the same way. Yet every single one of us is a genius when we take time to overcome our insecurities. We all have strengths, but if you don't know exactly what your strengths are, remember strengths are gifts and your gifts make room for you. You could be in the wrong room and rejected, not understanding you're actually being protected. And then lastly, we may all say the same words, but we don't mean the same things. But we also don't speak the same way. It's important for you to understand the power in your voice. And then lastly, the importance of anchoring to outcomes that you believe in. So when people tell me they want to build wealth, and I ask them a couple quick questions, I know whether or not you want to believe it, whether you want to pursue it, because your belief drives your action.
That just speaks volumes to me, because that's a conversation I've been having with people lately. You know, they say, well, I think. And the real question is not, do you think it, do you believe it? There's a difference. There's a difference in thinking something, and there's a difference in believing something. So,
well, you know, a thought without a mission, right, is a dream. And we are blessed with our resident dreamer, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, which was the first bookend of my dissertation. I connected the 40-year dots between Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and now two-term President Obama. But then he was a presidential candidate. And so you can think something, and that's a dream. But oftentimes our dreams are deferred. If you truly want to build wealth your way, start with thought. Actually, start with vision. Move on to thought, but move it to something that you believe in so that you're convicted. Because when you're convicted, then it becomes a mission. And once your wealth becomes a mission, then you will achieve it because you believe it. Some people say, oh, that's just words. No, actually, that's strategy. A strategy connects the what to the how. Once you understand the how and you own it, it becomes a road to wealth your way.
And of course, you are a strategist. In fact, you created this topic, the headline we're using of generational wealth is a strategy. So can you talk to us a little bit about how we create this strategy in our households, in our families? How do we create a generational wealth strategy?
Yeah, so it's important for you to move beyond story to narrative. Everybody has a story. You have a beginning. You were born. You have a middle, which is your journey, and then you have an end in which you transition from this world. Everybody has that. But a narrative is a legacy that didn't begin with you and will not end with you. And so if you want to create a generational wealth strategy, recognize it takes three generations to build legacy wealth, only one generation to lose it. So it's not just about you. It's about the family business that you grew up in, where you were taught what to do and what not to do. It's about how your parents were influenced by their parents. And if you can go even further back, praise be, that's even better. But literally, three generations is what you need. That makes you either the third generation or the fourth generation, depending on how far you can go back. The reason why is because while each generation had a different opportunity, each generation is weaker and wiser, which means you may know what not to do. Doesn't mean you know why. And it's important for you to know why. Everybody knows they need to save. Not everybody knows why till they talk to a family member that doesn't have enough money to retire. Everybody needs to know they need to invest. Doesn't mean you do it. It's not until you talk to an uncle or a cousin who has invested in the capital markets from 2007 to now, and you see how much wealth that they have acquired. It's imperative for you to own your legacy narrative because your family as a whole has created income. They have built cash flow and a lifestyle. They have a standard of living. Are you going to live above it or below it? Some people don't like talking about class. In my research, I found people thought class was a lifestyle. No wonder why people always talk about the Black community in relation to our buying power. Because buying, if you can no longer afford to buy, you don't have any power, right? Which means you always got to work harder to make more money, right? So that you can spend more money, right? Well, if you understand GDP, consumption is the biggest variable in that equation. But there's savings and there's investing. There's importing and there's exporting. And so if you truly want to build wealth, you want to participate with all of those variables, not just one. And so that create stage that everybody has in their life, where you have to create 40 plus years of increasing levels of income to finance 80 plus years of living, means that you recognize you have four generations of impact on the road ahead, and you can afford to turn the wheel. That second generation builds on the first generation's hard work and determination. If you don't know what the standard of hard work and determination is in your family, you're on the hustle for the rest of your life. It's imperative for you to get better. Each generation has to get better. That third generation now has a model of how do you create and how do you build wealth. And now what they're going to do is grow it. And they grow it with what Emmerich loves to talk about and actually does for a living. It's about ownership. If you don't own in America, your vote really does matter little. You have got to participate in the economy of America. That last level, that's that fourth generation, that's all about investment and influence. If you don't invest, what will you transfer? Some folks are like, I want the next generation to do what I did and own what I have and figure it out on themselves. No, you don't, because that's dropping the wheel. That's dropping the three generational progress that we have inherited. What you have to do is pass that torch while it's still lit. And what that means is that you tell them how you created your income. You tell them how you packaged your skills and you took it to the next level. You tell them what social networks, what advanced education, what negotiations you made to be able to live the standard of class that you live in. And then you tell them what you want to own and how they can partner with you to pay it off so you fully own it. Then and only then will we have something to transfer across generations.
You touched on something that I hear people say a lot, and I've never understood the concept of why you would want your children to start at zero just because you did.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
I look at that as crazy logic. For me, I would never want my kids to start from where I started from because I've already done it. And so the idea is that I give them something that I have taken away from life and they use that to go to a different level, to catapult that to the next level.
So what I found is there's a lot of unconscious navigation of what I call the financial wilderness. You don't want them to do it your way, but you do want them to create income, build cash flow, grow independent, and leave a legacy. You don't want them to do it your way. So when you want them to not have to do it, you're asking them to skip a step. If they skip a step, it's why when you look at the Federal Reserve Bank research, an African-American can get to middle class or upper middle class in one generation. The second generation doesn't stay there. We cannot skip steps. We have to take care of that unfinished business, which is why I created the Wealth Finishing School. Because a lot of well-intentioned parents help their children skip steps. So it's not that you want them to do the same hard work that you did, but you do want them to have a hard work ethic to do what you haven't been able to do yet because it wasn't your generation. And that's what's critical because it's like little simple things that are implied need to be more explicit if we're going to get further down the road to wealth our way.
It's funny that, no, it's just funny that you said that because I'm going to tell you, I'm being transparent here. There's some things that I just did not have the conversation with my kids. I didn't have the conversation. It was implied and I thought they understood it until we really sit down and start talking about going to the next level. Just like you said, I skipped a couple steps And it shows up when they're in their 20, middle 20s, because they're looking to put things together and you believe that they have the fundamental pieces to put it together. A lot of us just didn't teach it. We just assumed that it was osmosis and it would be transferred because they were in that space and they watched it, but they don't have any experiential knowledge of it. And so when you don't have experiential knowledge, it's more difficult to practically apply it.
1,000%, you know, and so wealth is a choice, but it's also applied knowledge, which means the first generation graduates because that's what they have to do. The second generation will know why they want to graduate because they will know what they want to do. And so I'll give you an example of my research. You know, I had parents who weren't college educated, who saved their money to fund their children to go to college. Particularly, there was a group of Black men that I was able to interview who were the students of those parents, right? And they all majored in, of all things, architecture. Now, if you know the National Association of Black Architects, Black people have built some of the most amazing buildings across the country. So that is a career that you want to continue the legacy of. Now, here these parents say to me, I'm excited that they graduated, but they're sitting upstairs in my house and they work at Restoration Hardware, and I can't be angry at them because they did what I said, but I just thought that they would do more. So I said, would you allow me to interview your children in a focus group? They said, of course. I interview those beautiful, brilliant Black men with an architectural degree. And they say to me, my mama and daddy, who didn't have a lot of money, who saved a whole bunch of money for me to be able to go to school so I wouldn't have student loan debt, told me I had to do two things, graduate with a good GPA. I said, yes. Do you know what that means, Dr. Jolly? I said, tell me. That means I can't take the hard classes because I got to have a good GPA. So then I graduate and they tell me because I didn't take the hard classes, I don't have a portfolio that gets me a job in architecture. So I have to go get a master's degree. I can't tell my parents that I need to get more education after they spend everything they have for this education. So I have to go home and try to figure it out myself and work at Restoration Hardware so I can have enough money to be able to go get my master's so I can get the job that I went to undergrad for. So what I share with parents, are you really blessing them if you pay for their entire college education when they have to do it your way, which is not enough for their way? Or should you sit down and really understand what you mean by what you're saying and be more explicit about the outcome that you desire? Their way will never be your way. Their outcome can be what you desire, a part of it at least, but you guys got to have the right type of conversation, because he did what he was told. But what he should have done is what was expected.
Well, let me ask you another question. You mentioned, and we kind of glossed over it, you mentioned wealth finishing school. Talk to me about that. What is wealth finishing school?
You know, I started my business 20 years ago. I set very specific goals and objectives of retirement for me. And so as I'm nearing the ending of my career, my father, before he died, my father died 10 years ago. And my father said that, how are you going to leverage all of the things in your head to help the people that you care about the most? And so what he was saying was, I do have 4 degrees. I did read 4,000 books. I have gone to 111 cities of Black communities talking about wealth. But how does that go further beyond me? It's the wealth finishing school. I've condensed everything that I've learned in the last 20 years of working in over 111 cities into 12 key steps. And these 12 key steps help any wealth builder finish their unfinished business so they can build wealth their way. And they can basically cast that vision for wealth, define that pursuit for it, understand the business of themselves, and then contribute to the business of us.
Can you tell us what the 12 steps are? Or do we need to sign up to find out?
I'll give you a glimpse of them. But you do need to sign up.
Okay. I'll take a glimpse.
So my desire is for wealth to become a standard in the Black community. A standard. First step is legacy. Second step is identity. Third step is inheritance. Fourth step is the financial wilderness, which you must navigate and exit out of so that you can take the fifth step, which is the road to wealth your way. So then you really want to take the sixth step, which is closing your own wealth gap. And then you'll realize that you need to take the seventh step, which is a snapshot of the wealth builder in you. So then you want to take the eighth step so you can understand the difference between race and class. And then you want to take the ninth step because you want to build the three dimensions of freedom by understanding the three types of cash flow. Then you want to get to the 10th step because you're ready for it, which is enculturating wealth your way in a blueprint that other people can read and understand so that you don't think that we're crabs in a barrel. You just understand that people don't want to be left behind and you can include them. And then, and only then, are you ready to take the 11th step, which is to build your own wealth group, because wealth is a group process. And the last one is what I hope everybody does. Then you want to pass the torch while it's still lit.
I really want to get this question out because our audience, this is like really particular to our audience. What's the role of the Black real estate professional in this whole legacy? Mm-hmm. So the narrow road legacy. So what's that role, Dr. Jolly? Because we, our listeners really have to understand it, what part they can play, not just in their family and with their clients and their extended networks.
I love how you said that because it takes us full circle to where we began, Emmerich, our journey. Right? I mean, literally, the real estate professional is the leader towards a dream that's realized. When we think about life, liberty, and the pursuit of, answer that for me. What's the end of that? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of, what is
it? It's that happiness, but it depends on what you want to answer. Happiness is a moving target, but they say happiness.
So happiness is really what the promise of America is without equity. The original statement was life, liberty, and the pursuit of ownership leads to happiness. If you don't own in America, it's very difficult for you to be happy across generations because you don't have a lot to pass on in terms of financial wealth, right? You can't pass on a lifestyle. Now, you can pass on some wisdom, but you can't pass on a lifestyle. Please hear me. Everyone has an inheritance and everyone has the ability to leave an inheritance. Not everyone will inherit something financial. And not everyone will leave something financial, but there is something that you can pick up and there is something that you can leave. Mm-hmm. But if truly you want to leave something financial for generations to come, you have to own it. That's why the real estate professional is the biggest genius in our community, because they can meet you where you are and guide you along that road to legacy wealth that can pass on for generations. I work with families that have had land in their families for seven generations, eight generations. The reality is, if you look at the African-American legacy, which is American business history, by the way, we are all the same number of generations away from slavery. But where we differ is the number of generations away from ownership. Ownership cuts the shackle of financial oppression. A lot of people talk about poverty when they think about our community. Poverty is a lack of options. What we're really dealing with is not understanding our choices. Why would you choose to spend all your money on a vacation when you could save for a down payment? Why? It's because you don't understand your choice. You don't understand the important role that homeownership is. What I want your audience, Emmerich, to understand is that there are many people in their 20s and their 30s who have figured out a budget, but they cannot find a real estate agent to help them where they are to where they want to go. They have a specific budget. They don't know nothing about down payment assistance. They don't know where those properties are. They don't know how to evaluate a community, but they want to. So they are not just renters that fall into those data stats about more renting than owning. They want to be owners, but they need a guide to be able to do it. And I pray that that becomes you.
Well, let me ask you this as we close up, Dr. Pamela Jolly. Clearly, you are a wealth of knowledge. How can our listeners find information about the Narrow Road? How can they sign up for the Wealth Finishing School? Where can we find more information about you? We will also have it in our show notes. So if you're listening and you're like, how do I get access to this? You're going to go to thecolorofmoneypodcast.com and you'll be able to go to the show notes and get this information. But for those who are just listening right now, how do we get access to all this wonderful information you shared with us today?
Great question. So one, my website is torchenterprises.com, TorchEnterprises.com. I've created a special QR code or a link for your audience. It's pjolly.com/legacy journey. That's L-E-G-A-C-Y, Journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. If you want to just hear more about what I talk about, my podcast is called The Jolly Journey. I am on social media. And the Wealth Finishing School, you'll be able to get access to that if you go to pjolly.com/Jolly Journey. Last thing, I'm doing a 6-city tour starting in July. And I'm so excited about the 6 cities that I'm going to get to come to. If you want to know more about that, definitely go to the website because I'd love to see your face.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me the cities now. I'm listening. I leaned in like, I wonder if she's coming to my city.
Yeah. I'll tell you 3 of the cities. I won't tell you all 6.
Okay.
I've agreed and we formed the teams for it. One is Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
One is Birmingham, Alabama. And one is Denver, Colorado.
All right. That's Daniel's city. You're coming to our other co-host. We're going to have him make sure he puts on a show.
I definitely want you to spread the word because I'm so looking forward. Yeah. You have 3 different times to be able to experience the Narrow Road and the Wealth Finishing School. Sure. And you decide to join the journey. But as I said throughout this podcast, I want to make wealth a standard in the Black community. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to plant a seed in 6 cities and hope that it takes a fire.
So, Dr. Jolly, when are these other 3 cities going to come out?
Yeah, we're finalizing with those cities right now. The tour will start in July. It'll go to August and then September. 3 of the cities will happen.
Emmerich's upset that it's not one of his cities. That's what he's at.
No, there's still a possibility. There's specific things that need to happen for the city to become on board. And so if you are interested, we still have some space to have that conversation.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, I will. And really, I want to know because I want to make sure that we promote it.
Thank you.
I want to make sure that we promote it in our network over a combination of almost 12,000 agents.
Wow.
I want to make sure that we promote it and we let it be known that this is coming to your city. Invite your friends, your family, and everybody you know. This is a don't miss.
Thank you, Emmerich.
All right, Dr. Pamela Jolly, last words. What is the one thing you would like our listening audience to leave with today after hearing you on this episode?
Well, you know, we're recording this in April, and April's a really big inflection point for any wealth builder in America, specifically April 15th. I want everyone to do a wealth reset. What I mean by that is I want you to do things differently. I don't want you to do different things. I want you to take a look at 2023. How much did you save? How much did you invest? How much did you own? And I want you to reset, do it differently, save more, invest more, own more, because it's about you and your legacy of wealth that can pass on for generations. No time like the present to start doing things your way to build wealth that can pass on and influence where we're going. That's why I want you to do it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pamela Jolly. This has been fantastic.
And can I just say one last thing? In June of 2024, I become the board chair of Bennett College, which is the oldest and one of 2 historically Black colleges specifically for Black women. I did the largest national study of Black women trust in the financial services industry. Black women make 71% of the financial decisions for our community. I truly want Black women to own their position. Because there's a tremendous opportunity for Black women to come together and birth a new economy in our community. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. God bless you.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Color of Money podcast.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.